Hello and welcome to German Suplex with me, Dieter Wiegner. Today on the show, we're going to be previewing AEW Grand Slam, which is going down tonight at Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, New York. And we'll also be looking at some of the responses that we had off the back of the first episode where I asked you to let me know what the first ever match you watched was. So let's get right into it. Here we go, episode 2. We are live and rolling. Thank you very much for joining me. I am your host, Dieter Wiegner, here on German Suplex Radio. I'd just like to say thank you for joining us on the second ever episode of this. And I'd also like to thank everyone for the positive feedback from the first episode. One of the best things about the wrestling community, in my opinion, is just how tight-knit everyone is. Yes, we all have our opinions and people aren't afraid to share those opinions, and there's always going to be those differing views on things, but we all have one commonality, and that's that we all love wrestling in some regard. And when someone does something new in the wrestling community, we all come together, and we all band together. And I feel like that's what's happened here. And I'd just like to thank you for all the positive feedback that I've had so far on the show. It really means a lot, and it makes me want to do more of these, which I probably would have done anyway. But it's great to know that you guys are enjoying the show anyway. So big thanks to that. But why are we here today then? So today I'm going to preview the Grand Slam, and I'm going to look at some of those responses that we had off the back of that first episode, like I said in the intro. So let's get right into this then. So tonight, AEW Dynamite, which is Dynamite Grand Slam, taking place in Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, New York. A huge arena for AEW. I believe this is the biggest show they've done in terms of audience. I think at time of recording, they've sold around 18,000 tickets. I think the entire capacity when it's a tennis venue, as it normally is around 23,000. So it's a huge show. And it's not only a huge show in terms of capacity and crowd, but it's a huge show in what we've got on the card. We've got Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson, which is, for all intents and purposes, I know it's a bit cliche, is a very much a dream match for everyone involved, for the whole wrestling community. I know Bryan Danielson tweeted out yesterday thanking WWE for all his time there and how it's led up to this kind of moment for him. And it's clearly a big deal in his eyes. I mean, he's a master of selling an event, so I think he's done a great job of doing that. But you can tell in the way that tweet's worded, where he's talking about his past and how he's got to this point and thanking Vince McMahon for all of the advice and showing him what to do and what not to do along the way. And it's led us to this momentous match between arguably two of the greatest wrestlers to ever do it, let alone within our generation. And we're getting that on free TV. So it's going to be fantastic to see what happens then. We'll get into that a little bit later, but this card, like I say, is absolutely stacked. It's pay-per-view quality on TV. And the build to this has been fantastic. We've recently had All Out, which is one of the best pay-per-views that I can remember. Again, recency bias kind of comes into that a little bit. But watching that show, you knew you were watching something that would be remembered throughout the ages in wrestling. It was a show that had a good build. It had all the great matches. It had the surprise moments, even though we kind of knew or we hoped that certain things would happen, which they did with Bryan Danielson coming out, Adam Cole coming out, Ruby Soho coming out. You had those big reveals. You also had the Forbidden Door stuff happening with Mizoru Suzuki. It was all fantastic, and the matches on there, you look at the Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks and that cage match, that'll be something that people remember for a long time to come. And that show as a whole, it's almost a turning point in the industry. I know it's cliche, but we're living history within wrestling at the moment. And as everyone keeps saying, what a time to be a wrestling fan. And I know people roll their eyes a little bit at that because it's said so much, but it's true. Everything that's happening in wrestling at the moment is fantastic. Like, I was a lapsed fan. I came back into this a few years ago, and I remember being really excited just to see one good match on Backlash between The Miz and Seth Rollins and was like, oh, that was really good. I really enjoyed that. And that was what I was clinging on to. And you had some indie stuff going on. And then you've had the rise of AEW. You've had New Japan, all the things happening over there. So at the moment, I don't think there has been a better time. Everything's just built up and built up. And now we're almost in this new era of AEW anyway, where we've had a lot of people coming in. We've got CM Punk come back. I've not even mentioned there, which is outstanding to think that I'd be talking about wrestling and returns and skim over CM Punk. That just goes to show what's been going on in the world of wrestling in just the past month. And I think this show in particular, because yes, it's not pay-per-view, but it's pay-per-view quality, will go down as a big deal. So what's on the card apart from Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson? So I'm going to go through the card match by match. And I kind of give a little bit of a breakdown of what's been going on, what's happening. And what I'll do is that I'll go over who I think's going over, because I think it's interesting to see how people think this will be booked. And I'm going to give you an opinion on how I think it'll be booked or what they might or might not do. Might not always have the right answer. I might not even have an answer. Sometimes I'll sit on that fence because there's always multiple ways you can go in wrestling, which is one of the beautiful things about it. So we'll go through the card and we'll go through each match, and I'll go through it as they've kind of laid it out. So the first match, I don't know if this is going to be how it happens on the night, but in the way it's listed on their website, on the AEW website, we've got MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr. Now, if you'd said to me a month ago, you're going to be super excited about an MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr. match, I'd have said, all right, mate, you've got a lot of work to do to convince me of that. But that's exactly what they've done. And I think this is not only credit to AEW and the way they book things and the way they build things, even in a short period of time and just a matter of weeks here with this storyline, but it also just shows what a star MJF is. I don't even think it's becoming at this point. I think he is that bona fide star that's just going to run away with the industry for me. He's got it all. He's amazing on the mic. I mean, that goes without saying. I don't think you could go into a promo battle with MJF and not come out with a few burns without necessarily being even burnt alive, because the way he delivers promos is just fantastic. If you think about the stuff in the build up to this match, you give this to a lesser person on the mic and it would be really hokey, a lot of it. Granted, some great stuff in there as well, but he even mentions it himself, talking about cheap heat when he's just berating the fans and belittling them because they come from a certain town. It's super old school stuff, but his delivery of it is world class, and he brings you in and you just have to hate him. Like, this guy oozes annoyance. When you see him, you're just like, I can't deal with this guy. And then when he starts speaking and the sense of entitlement there, he's really built that MJF character over the years. He's been working on this from the indies back in the day. And now it's just glorious to watch. Like I say, he's built this match kind of out of nowhere. He's used real life things. You may say he's overstepped the mark with some of the things that he'd said. I'm presuming that's all been cleared with Brian Pillman and his family. But the way he's built this is now fever pitched, and it's fantastic. If we look at their interactions last week, you had MJF coming out and just talking so much shit that Brian Pillman Jr. had to come out and say something. Not even say something, come out and basically try and attack MJF. And then we went into a pre-recorded segment with Brian Pillman Jr., which I thought was a really nice touch from AEW, because it shows, yes, if this was a real sporting event, that's probably what they do. They'd be like, oh, MJF, we'll give you some time to talk and build the match. And then we've already pre-recorded Brian talking so he can have kind of his rebuttal after. But because of the stuff MJF was saying, Pillman in the back is just, he's got to come out and do something. He can't just sit there and wait for his VT to play with Jim Ross. So that was a nice little touch. It made it all feel a little bit more real and it brought you into it. So when we get into this match, I think it's going to be interesting to see Pillman Jr. still a little bit green in some regards. I think between them, I think they'll craft a really nice match. I think MJF doesn't get enough credit for his in-ring work. I think when you look at him with Chris Jericho and the stuff that they did together was fantastic. Yes, Jericho is an in-ring general, but I think here between MJF and Brian Pillman Jr., they'll craft something that'll fit nicely. It'll go with the narrative. It'll build heat. It'll build throughout the match. And again, we'll see the kind of stuff that MJF can do here. And I think you've got to give him credit for that. And the pacing of the match, I think, will be on point. I'm not sure which way this is. Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure which way this is going to go. I am very sure. I think MJF's going to go over here and continue on his rise till eventually him and CM Punk in about a year's time meet. And that's just going to be outstanding. So I think MJF's probably going to go over here, but I'm not sure what they're going to do with the finish. I'm not sure how they're going to book this in terms of the finish. I feel like Wardlow's probably going to be involved somewhere. We haven't seen MJF with the Pinnacle for a while, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there and if the Pinnacle kind of all get together here. But I imagine it's going to be something to do with Wardlow. They're really laying out the breadcrumbs now for, they're not even breadcrumbs, they're slices of bread towards that turn where when Wardlow turns on MJF, and they're planting those seeds as we go week by week, and it's just building up and building up. So I'm assuming we're probably going to use this as a bit of an escalation towards that somehow. But I think MJF goes over here. I think he goes over strong. I think Brian Pillman Jr. looks strong in defeat. I don't think he's made to look foolish during this match. Again, like I say, I think they'll craft something that plays to both of their strengths and allows the crowd really to get into this one. And like I say, the build's been fantastic. So I'm interested to see what the payoff for this one is. I don't feel like the feud's going to continue. It might do. You never know. But I think it'll probably continue again down the line. But I think, again, we'll probably use this as a bit of a jumping off point, or at least an escalation of Wardlow eventually turning on MJF during the finish of this match and build out those stories there. So I'm really excited for this one. I think it'll be really good. And no doubt MJF will have some words either before or after the match. So we've always got that to look forward to. Should be fantastic. But yep, I think MJF goes over here. Then the next match on the card is FTR versus Sting and Darby Allin. Now, for me, I'm not hugely excited by this match, in all honesty. I think it's going to be great, don't get me wrong, but compared to some of the other matches on the card, it's not something that really gets my juices going. I love FTR, I love Sting and Darby, I love Tony Blanchard. Again, some things might happen here with the Pinnacle, we don't know. It would be nice to see them all together, maybe some kind of lead-in from the MJF bout, because we haven't really seen them all together on TV or pay-per-view for that matter in quite a while. So it would be nice to actually see them as a full unit again. But I guess that remains to be seen. But I think this match will be quite good. I think that FTR have not really been themselves as of late. I think that they've not lost a step, don't get me wrong. I just think they're not, the gears aren't hitting like they were. And I think they know that. So I imagine they know all eyes are going to be on this match. I mean, as soon as Sting's involved, you've got all eyes on this. You've got Darby coming off the CM Punk match where all eyes were on him. So you're going to have a lot of eyes on this. And I think they'll really go for it here. And I think with Darby, anything Darby's involved now is always fantastic to watch. It was fantastic to watch anyway. There was a match that I watched actually of Darby's against John Moxley, just as AEW had kind of taken off. And it's before they actually had a match in AEW together. And it was just on the indies. And it was kind of my introduction to Darby Allin, in all honesty. I'd been a bit of a mark for John Moxley and just watching everything and anything that he did. It was in some sort of little gym somewhere in America. And the stuff he was doing, I was instantly in love with Darby Allin and went and watched a load of his matches and the work that he did in Evolve with Ethan Page and all of those bits. So I think here again, it's only going to serve to build Darby Allin as that star. I think he already is a bit of a star. I don't think he's on the level of MJF at the moment, but I think he's going to be a huge, huge star. I only think his star's going to grow throughout the years. And I think this match will serve a strong purpose, both for FTR and Sting and Darby, mainly for Darby. I think FTR will put a bit of a clinic on Darby Allin. They'll do what they do best and break off the ring and do their really good old school southern wrestling tag team work on Darby, and it'll work well because we all know Darby can take that punishment, and he'll do that building towards what will be a sensational hot tag for Sting when he comes in, when he finally gets that tag, when Darby's dying and he just has to tag in. And when he tags in, I think we'll see Sting do all the greatest hits. I think it'll be fantastic to watch. The crowd will be really buzzing at that point. It'll reach a bit of a fever pitch. And I think we'll then see the greatest hits, like I say, from Sting. And then we'll probably end up with some kind of coffin drop from Darby for the win here, putting over Darby and Sting as Darby rises through the ranks. And only furthermore, his ascension to the top. I think that's how this one will go down. This one will play out. Like I say, not the most excited for this one on the card, but I think it'll still be really good and really enjoyable. Just look at the workers in the ring. Second to none. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here. I'm sure they'll book something better than I've got in my head at the moment. So that'll be a good one. The next match then is Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black. Now, I'm a bit convoluted on this one. I love both of these guys, both of the way they work. I love the way they tell stories. They're very different. But again, that's why it kind of works here. But for me, something in this build-up's not quite clicked. The Malakai Black character has clicked for me. I really like the stuff he's doing, but the story here and the build's not, I don't think it's quite hit home the way they'd have liked. You've got that sort of disparity between the two. You've got the light in Cody and the dark in Alistair, and that's what they're trying to play off here. But the way it kind of come about, it's just not been executed how I would have liked, in all honesty. And I think it's a bit of a shame for these two, because I know what they're capable of, and we've seen what they're capable of. And it was, for me, it started with the angle of Cody retiring. Now, there's a few problems there. So the match that those two had in Dynamite 6 weeks ago now was fantastic, and it did what it needed to do, and it told a very nice story of Cody kind of being Cody and thinking, yeah, I've got this, and Malakai just going, no, you haven't, mate. I'm going to spin your heel, kick your face off, and I'm going to make you rethink your life, which I get then leads into the retirement angle of Cody talking, and he does what he does well. He sells it really well. So you almost half buy it, even though you know he's going away to do the Go Big Show. You almost half buy it. But then obviously Alistair comes in and stops him. And it's almost as if he's saying, you're going to go out on my terms, pal, not your own. I'm in control of everything in your life, Cody. And I'm going to show that. And that was part of that. But retirement angles in wrestling today don't work that well for me. Because we know no one ever retires in wrestling, really. You look at The Undertaker, you look at Terry Funk. People are always coming back. And here, especially with Cody, we knew where he was going. We knew he was off to film a TV show and go and do his thing. Over there, it would have hit home a little bit better if he'd have been out. I'm not saying we do a concussion angle here because of the kick, but we find another way to do it. Where Cody's sidelined, his injuries because of the mask, because of the way Malakai's run through him, seeing him written off TV in that way, for me, would have hit home nicely. Because then it leads into Cody's not around to protect his family and friends from Malakai, who's running loose. Cody potentially underestimated his opponent. Cody thought he was better, and now look what's happened. He's got himself hurt. And now his friends are being hurt. His family are being hurt because of the mistakes that he made leading into that match with Malakai Black. And that would have been a stronger story to me than Cody's potentially retiring and thinking about what he's doing. He's gone away. He needs to reassess his life because Malachi's got into his head, and he's thrashed him physically and mentally, and he's even thinking about quitting the sport that he loves. As I say, it sounds nice, but it's just not executed that way. It doesn't come across that way when you watch it on TV. So I think at an angle where he's injured and he's physically not capable to help his friends, help Brock Anderson, help his brother Dustin, he's not there to do these things. And then he gets cleared. And he can come out. He can stand in front of that crowd. He can say, Malachi, I've seen what you've been doing. You think you broke me, but you haven't. I'm here to take revenge now. I know what I need to do. Last time, yes, you ran through me. But that event changed me. And now I'm here to show you exactly why my last name is Rhodes. And that, for me, just builds it in a stronger way. The emotion of there. You imagine Cody writing a promo like that. The way he delivers them, everyone would have been probably in tears knowing Cody Rhodes. He'd have been in tears himself. But it would have just been a stronger build than Cody's gone away. Is he retiring? Is he not? Oh, look, he's back. We know he's been doing the Go Big show. So the build quite hasn't hit home for me. But having said that, when we get their entrances in Asherah, it's going to be fantastic. Cody loves a big theatrical entrance. So we're going to get that. We've not seen it in a while. It was nice that we didn't necessarily get that on a Dynamite leading into it, his beautiful over-the-top entrance. We didn't get that. So we're going to get that in a stadium. It's going to be fantastic. Then we're going to get the macabre, dark side, Malachi Black. We're going to get to visually see the differences of the lights of Cody, the darkness of Black, come together and meet. And when they stand face to face, you're going to feel that energy. You're going to feel that tension. And the build's probably not going to matter as much as I've made out. And the way it's not hit home for me, because I think once you see those two face to face, it's going to go off. And I think the match that they're going to carve out is going to be great. Cody's going to do his old school wrestling stuff. Malachi's going to do his quite outstanding kicks and his sort of martial art, more shoot style wrestling here. And I think it's just going to be fantastic to watch. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they craft here. Now, again, finish-wise, there's a few ways we can go here. I know there's a lot of people calling for Cody to do a bit of a heel turn on us. Maybe go towards the dark side, not necessarily align with Malachi Black, but let that dark in. And that's how he beats Malachi. And that's almost part of Malachi's plan. So you could go down that route. You could go down just having Cody win as a lovely, clean baby face. And we go off happy into the sunset here. Malachi has to go back into the shadows for a little bit and think as he takes on someone new. We could potentially do that. We could potentially go down the route of Malachi just destroys him again. I don't think that's what we're going to get. But we could go down something where Malachi wins and we really put over his spinning heel kick that takes out Cody and Black stands tall. I think that's probably the way they'll go with this. In all honesty, I think Malachi will come out on top, or we're going to get that Cody letting in the darkness, as Cody tends to do in his matches. He never always stays fully face some of the stuff that he does in whipping with his belt and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see if he lets more and more of that dark side come in that Malachi probably wants to bring out of him, and contort and change Cody's views on things. So we'll see how that one plays out. But I think this is going to be a good one to watch. I think it's going to set up a very strong kind of mid-card, for lack of a better term, for the next few months. I think this is going to be a nice leading off point for both Cody and Malachi, depending on which way we go there. I think we're going to be in for an entertaining battle. Then we come on to one that has surprised me, and not surprised me in a negative way, but surprised me in how much I'm into this. So we've got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus Ruby Soho. Now, I'm really, really excited for this. Probably, I don't know how excited people are for this, but I feel like their buzz has built over the weeks. And especially watch their promo work on Rampage just sold me on this. Like, the realism elements there, the delivery both on Britt Baker and Ruby Soho was outstanding. And I'm so into this. I think Ruby Soho when she was in WWE as Ruby Riott. I quite liked her as a character. She was quite fun. I like that sort of punk rocker style and the edge. WWE, so you never get the full edge. But when she walked out at All Out and you saw that look on her face, you could just see what this industry means to her. And she absolutely suckered me right in. I don't know if suckered in is the right term, but she drew me in. And I just felt for this woman. And I thought, this is your time. This is your moment. I think in wrestling, I think in combat sports in general, people have their time. And I think for Ruby Soho, this is a big time. She's managed to come in and be the babyface against a heel Britt Baker that people don't really want to see as a heel. And now that dynamic, because I care about Ruby Soho as a face, as a real person, you got to see that emotion as she came in, as she won the Battle Royal, she got her shot. In the subsequent weeks on Dynamite, you've been able to see it, and it's built, and it's built to that moment on Rampage where they're just having off and Ruby's saying, "You're like everyone else I've met," just banging some guy in the back, self-entitled. And Britt Baker comes back with the, "You talk about running away, you didn't run anywhere, you didn't leave, you were fired." And that look on Ruby's face sold that so well. Like, she didn't know the line was coming. I guarantee she knew something of that ilk was coming. They'll have discussed it in the back. But the way she sold that and the way she delivered it as, "You're absolutely right, but that wasn't the place for me. That wasn't the time. My place is here in AEW. And it might have been a bad thing for me being fired at the time, but it's a great thing for me now. The only thing that's bad is for you, Britt," was fantastic. And again, that pulled me in. And it had that sense of realism. The things they were talking about is stuff that's going on. And that's when wrestling is at its finest, when it brings reality into the stories. And it feels real. We all know it's a work, but when it feels real, we can really get behind it. And the build to this match, like I say, I've just enjoyed every minute of it. And as we've gone along week by week, I've cared more and more about this match. And now I'm really just hoping that we get an outstanding match from them. I think that we will do. I think when you look at the work Britt Baker's put in over the past year, she's becoming a ring general for that division. And she's fantastic on the mic. We all know that. But her in-ring work has got better and better and better. And I'm really hoping that they both bring their A games. Ruby Soho, I think in some of her matches, has not been lost in them, but they've not hit physically in the same way. Like her finishing kick, it's not got that hard hit that you need for it to look as a finisher. And I think that's because she's finding her feet again. She's got that freedom to do what she wants, so she needs to just find that. And I think she will, and I think this will be a big moment for both of these women, in that we get to see exactly what this division's going to be over the next 3 years. And these two are going to be key players in that. And I think this match is just the start of it. So I think secretly they're going to put on an absolute banger. And not necessarily steal the show, but they're going to be one of the main talking points. And I really hope that we see that. Because it'd be a shame to have this fantastic build where you, like I say, brought everyone in. Everyone's invested now. Everyone's on board with this. And then for it to just fall slightly short would really suck. So my fingers are crossed. I know they can do it. You know they can do it. So let's see them do it tonight. I think it's going to be a fantastic one to watch. And who do I think is going to go over? I almost missed that bit off. I think DMD is going to go over, in all honesty. I think it's going to be nice to see Ruby fail at the final hurdle. I know that sounds really mean, but to see her fail at that final hurdle and then have to work her way back up to another shot later down the line. We've got Thunder Rosa waiting in the wings, people. We need that match to happen. I think if we go DMD, we can keep this reign going. She can keep building people up and making stars out of people as we go on over the next year or so. Yes, I'm talking about a long reign for DMD. But I think seeing her knock down Ruby Soho here and Ruby Soho becoming a bit, not darker, but a bit grungier here as she fights her way back to get another shot and building back to this moment. This is what Britt Baker's done so well of wanting us to see matches with people again. Statlander, for example, the build wasn't great for me, in all honesty, but that match was fantastic. Looking forward to seeing that match again down the line. The Thunder Rosa match where she lost. We forget she lost. She lost that Lights Out match. So we've got Thunder Rosa got a win over the champion. That to come. That to build to. And I think we can do something similar with Ruby Soho here. She can get over in defeat, if you like. I think that's the way they book this one. Okay, so next what they've got is a CM Punk interview listed. So I'm not sure where they'll position this on the card. Before we get into that main event, we'll cover this one off. I think that we all kind of know what's going to happen here. He's going to come out. He's going to enjoy his entrance to a huge pop in Arthur Ashe Stadium. Cool personality he's going to play. He's probably going to run and jump into the crowd. What I quite like to see is him run and jump into the crowd. But in the crowd, we've got Will Hobbs. We've got Hook. We've got Taz. You probably won't be able to see him from the crowd, but we've got Taz. And I really want Ricky Starks to be involved here. I think they made a clever move in not bringing him out when they attack, when Will Hobbs and Hook attack CM Punk, not to shine the light away from Will Hobbs. And I think that was a clever move, but I'd still like to see him in and around this and get a little bit of shine from being involved. It's Team Taz versus CM Punk, not just Will Hobbs. So maybe we're going to build to the Ricky Stark CM Punk down the line after Will Hobbs. And once those two go at it on Rampage on Friday. So maybe we're building to that later on. But I think we all know what's going to happen to some regard. I think not necessarily they're going to be waiting in the crowd if he dives into it, but it would be a nice little touch. Shows that the heels have been thinking about this and they've seen him do this week by week and now they're in there. So that would be a nice little angle for me. But I imagine we'll get some sort of beatdown, and I'd be surprised if they necessarily do that, because I think they'll want to give CM Punk some mic time in a big stadium like this. So it's probably unlikely that they'll do that angle, but there'll be some sort of beatdown. Maybe we'll see CM Punk be the clever babyface here when they come out. He knows they're going to come for him. So maybe we'll see a bit more of a play on CM Punk being a clever face rather than the heels being super clever and hiding for him in the crowd. But I'd like to see that somebody do that down the line, because I think it's an easy win. But I think that's what'll happen. I think CM Punk will probably get jumped. Either CM Punk makes himself look clever and avoids it, or takes another nasty beatdown. That bump onto that table last week on Dynamite was horrific. Did not look like a nice bump to take. I don't know if that table was meant to break, or it was like, no, let's just have him slam into it and then slide off the side, looking like he's in a dead heap, because that's what it looked like. And it made Will Hobbs look like an absolute beast, which he is. And it was also nice to see that promo and the back by Will Hobbs as well afterwards. I think, I don't know about you guys, but I did not know he was that good on the mic. I think because he's had mouthpieces for him and he stood there and been the heavy, I thought he cut a fantastic promo, in all honesty. So maybe we get a bit more of that. Maybe we see a bit of Will Hobbs running down CM Punk verbally. Probably won't get that, but it'd be nice to see. So we'll see some interaction between CM Punk and Team Tab building into Rampage, so we get the viewership over there for the Friday show as well. So we then come on to the main event, to that dream match, to Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson. What can I say? I mean, there's no point me trying to figure out what they're going to do in the ring. These two guys, like I say, are the best of the best. And they're going to put on an absolute clinic of professional wrestling. We'll get to the finish. I think we are all assuming there's going to be some shenanigans. I think that's the way you've got to book it. I don't always like shenanigans in my wrestling, but I think there's probably going to be some shenanigans, so this can continue whichever direction we go down, but I'll come to that. But what we're going to see is potentially going to be, I don't want to say the once in a lifetime, because it's not once in a lifetime, but we're living history here in this match. We finally got some competition to WWE that allows for these kind of matches, these kind of builds, this kind of hype between two of the greatest performers of a generation, of a lifetime, step into the ring and put on a show that everyone wants to watch, regardless if you're a WWE guy, an AEW guy, New Japan guy, a Ring of Honor guy. You should want to watch this match. We need to forget about, you know, our borders here for this, of what wrestling we're into. These are unequivocally two of the best wrestlers on the planet. And they're going to put on a show. You think about the build to this. You think of the way Kenny set the scene before Adam Cole came out. There's no one left. There's no one that can take him on. There's no one that can defeat him. No one's on his level. They're already retired. They're already dead. We get Adam Cole. We get the swerve that he's obviously not going to take on Kenny, and not yet, at least anyway. They're best friends. He's part of the Elite. And then we get Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon. He comes out All Out, and that pop and that moment changed the industry, probably forever, but at least for the short term, like I said at the start of the show. So we're going to get all of that, and we're going to build, we built into this match, should I say. So he's come out, and it was like he's exploded that forbidden door. It was like a WWE guy has come just because they need to shut up Kenny Omega. I know that's not what's happened, but that's what it felt like. You had this big star. You had a guy that main evented WrestleMania coming to AEW to show that Kenny is not who you think he is. And that, yes, Kenny is great. It's the old wrestling trope. Yes, the guy I'm here to show that he is great, but I'm better. And it really works in this scenario because they're both great. You look at their bodies of work. You look at where they've been, where they've come from, the matches they've had. It's outstanding on both sides. And now they're coming together for not necessarily the first time ever. They've met many, many years ago. But they've never met when they've been who they are now. And it's been many years. And this is the sort of match people would dream about seeing. And it's on our doorstep on free TV. Now, I feel like I'm selling you on this. I've got nothing to sell. If you are a fan of professional wrestling, go and watch this match. Carve out the time, be involved, and watch it. Because like I said before, you're going to see an absolute clinic. And the things they're going to do is going to be great. It's not all going to be crazy high spots. There's going to be some things that I'm going to have to watch multiple times to notice. I guarantee some of the subtleties these two are going to do here is going to be great. And they're going to build on this match. This is not going to be the first time and the last time that we see these two. This is the start of their matches. And they can build on them from here. So we're going to see them plant seeds for matches down the line that we're not even thinking about yet. Scenarios we've not even thought about, they'll be planting seeds for. There'll be moves and reversals and counters because they've scouted each other. I guarantee that's what they're going to be showing here. They're going to do the I'm just as good as you on every level. And I think we're going to see some great technical wrestling from Kenny. But I also think we're going to see some high spots from Danielson. I think he's going to go toe-to-toe. I don't think he's going to be doing anything Lucha Brother crazy, but I think he's going to show I can go toe-to-toe with you. And I think that's the way the match is going to go. It's going to be, you're not on my level. Yes, I am. You're not on my level. No, I am. And that's how the match is going to build and take shape. And then for the finish, I'm not sure what we do here. I know I'm sitting on the fence. I'm gonna give you who I think is going to go over and what I think they're going to do here. But this is AEW, and Tony Khan, Big TK, is a fantastic booker and storyteller. So it'll be very interesting to see how they actually book this, because again, it feels like no one can lose. And that again is when wrestling is at its finest, when it feels like nobody can lose a match. And that's what we've got. So who do I think is going to go over, and how do I think they're going to go over? Now, I think because we've seen Christian Cage get a win in a non-title match, they're going to play on that. They're going to make us think that Danielson's going to go over, because we've seen it. It's a non-title match. They can do it. It doesn't matter. We've seen it happen, and then it helps build to a title match down the line, just as they did with All Out with Christian Cage and Kenny Omega. So they're going to play on that, but I don't think that's what we're going to get. I don't think that's what we're going to get. I think we're going to get, like I said before, we're probably going to get some shenanigans from the Elite. And we might get some seed planting. Adam Cole is actually the one that helps Kenny win here. And it's the seed of, you need me, Kenny. You need me. And it's a very small piece to a larger puzzle that won't be overblown. It could be very subtle. And I think as part of that, as part of the interference from the goons, as Danielson would say, we plant seeds there for that later down the line. But we get Kenny going over Danielson here, and it's a screwy finish. And we all know it's a screwy finish. But Kenny can then use that to say to Danielson, I've beaten you. You're 0-1 in AEW. You respected the rankings. I gave you a shot, not a title shot, but a shot of me, the best bout machine. You're going to have to go back down that card and work your little ass back to me. And that's never going to happen. Because then what we can do is have Bryan Danielson go on a steaming run through AEW. And we can have him work his way back up. He has been very open. Unlike CM Punk, he's, I'm not here to help the young guys. I'm here to kick their ass. Very nice little touch on the stuff CM Punk's been doing. But in that, he still wants to help them. It's all the work, guys. I know, crazy. Who'd have thought it? But I think we can see Danielson go on a run, build that record up. And I don't know if we do somehow, some way, we work Hangman into this and we get the trope of the freeway and Bryan Danielson somehow got himself into another triple threat. I don't know if we do that. It's a little bit hokey, but it'd be quite funny somehow. But I do think that we send Bryan Danielson not away. I think he's going to still be involved in the Elite and in this. I think this isn't going to just end tonight. But we see him having to go and not earn his stripes. He's got those stripes. But get that record and build that record. Beat the names. Beat the Darby Allens. Beat the Will Hobbs. I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see him coming up the rankings. Beating the Cody Rhodes. Beating potentially the Malakai Blacks. I don't know if those two will cross paths. But you see what I'm getting at. He's got to work his way up those rankings. He knows he has to. He managed to get in Kenny Omega's head. And Kenny Omega has managed to come through here. Through help from his friends. But Bryan Danielson knows, okay, fair enough, Kenny, I'll play you at this game. I'll show you. I'll get my reps in, kick everyone's head in, and then I'm coming for your title. And we'll figure out some way to not necessarily put him in a steel cage to get rid of the goons like we did with the tag team titles, but something along those lines. Some not necessarily a stipulation, but some beautiful piece of storytelling that I can't come up with off the top of my head to make sure that they get the proper wrestling match for the title that we all want. And I think that's where we'll go with it. Or we might just do the exact same thing that we did with Christian Cage and build that title match, but instead of Christian Cage not going over in the title match, you might have Danielson going over in that title match. But we'll see. That's the beauty of this. We don't know. And we're going to have to watch it to find out. So I think that we're in for a good one. So if you're into your professional wrestling, which you are, if you're listening to this, we're in for a treat. Shows like this don't come along all the time. Don't think I've been that excited for a match in quite some time. So tune in. Enjoy the show. Let me know what matches you're looking forward to on the card. And once you've seen the show, let me know what was your favourite match. And we'll speak again about this soon. So that was the preview of AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. I hope you enjoyed that bit. So this part of the show, we're going to go into some of the responses that we had off the back of the first episode, where I spoke to you around my experiences of my first ever wrestling match, which was Hulk Hogan versus the Big Boss Man in the big blue steel cage. So I'll put it out on my Instagram if you're interested. If you're still listening, you hopefully like the show. So if you want to get in touch with me on Instagram, it's Deets316 at Instagram. You can talk to me about the show or anything wrestling related there. I'd love to hear from you. But I put out on my Instagram about the show. People listen. People gave me some great feedback, like I said, at the start of the show, and I was really pleased for that. And I also asked people to let me know what their first wrestling match was. And I've got a few here that I just kind of want to go over and speak a little bit about, because it's quite interesting to see when people came in and what they saw as their first match. So one of them that came in, and the first match that they'd seen, was from my friend Jake. He'd put Hulk versus Warrior at WrestleMania 6. Now, if that was the first ever match you saw, fair play. Like that, not necessarily in terms of skill set, but that atmosphere, that intensity, that would have 100%. This is why you're a wrestling fan. What a great match to watch. The pageantry of it. That entrance of Warrior. I know it's an iconic entrance anyway, but that entrance of him when he's the IC champ going against a world champ Hogan. Fever pitch. Face versus face. Unbelievable scenes at WrestleMania there. What a way to be introduced into the business. It's a fair play, and thank you for sharing that one with us. I can only imagine as a small boy, as I assume you were, how you felt about that one. I remember having that on a VHS. That's right, a VHS, people. I had a WrestleMania box set got for Christmas one year because we didn't have a network. I had VHS, and it went up to WrestleMania 14. So it shows how long I've been a fan. But whoa, I remember watching that one. It was one where you'll all recognize that iconic poster, and that was the front of the VHS case. I remember looking and just being like, oh, I'm in for a treat here. And I absolutely was. Fantastic show in general. Well, fantastic main event, let's be real. Fantastic main event and a great way to be drawn into the business. So I'm glad that was your first experience of that one. But then one stood out above all the rest of a first experience into wrestling, and I can't imagine what this would have been like. Now, I won't say the guy's name because I haven't asked if I can say his name on air, so we'll keep him anonymous for now. But definitely takes the top spot in a first match to ever watch. Now, there's some matches out there that you'd recommend to people now, but as a first match to ever see, this lovely gentleman was introduced to the world of wrestling by Undertaker versus Mankind at King of the Ring 1998. Now, we all know what match that was. That was the infamous Hell in a Cell, where Mankind was thrown from the top of the cell through the table, and then the worst bump, where he's thrown through the cell to the ring, and Mean Mark Callis fought. He'd killed Mankind. And for that to be your introduction into wrestling must have blown your mind. Now, I presume in a similar way to me, where I was introduced by a friend that somebody introduced you to this. And God bless them that they were like, you know what, you need to watch this match. This brutal match. This chaotic event. That was the first match that they made you watch. And I hope they made you watch the match after with Steve Austin and Kane for the title, just so you can see Mankind coming out after almost being murdered live on television. Now that, for me, takes a top spot. There aren't many other matches that I could think of a way to bring you into wrestling other than that. Yes, it's a brutal match, but wow. What more could you ask for in an introduction to wrestling? So, what I'd like to do is ask you guys, what do you think is the best match to introduce someone to wrestling? Is it Undertaker versus Mankind? Is it Hogan versus Rock? What is it? What's that one match that if you took a wrestling fan now, what would you show them? Would you show them something recent? Would you show them the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks and say, this is what wrestling is like now? Would you show them a classic? Would you show them Hulk Hogan versus Warrior? Where would you start them? Where would you bring them in on this journey with us? What would be your go-to match? What is your go-to match? Maybe you do this often, bring people around, try and coerce them into joining the wonderful ranks of wrestling. What's the go-to match? What is that match that you think is the best introduction to wrestling? Let me know. Right now we're topping it with Undertaker Mankind for an introduction, especially back in the day. Now I'd probably go down a different route for trying to bring people in if they're a little bit older. But that's taking the top spot of people that was their first match into wrestling. So let me know. Let me know. Hit me up on Instagram at Deets316. So that's it. We've reached the end of the show. Episode number 2 in the books. We've had the preview to the Grand Slam. We've looked at some of your responses on Instagram to your first match. So let me know what you think the best match is to introduce someone to wrestling. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. If you do, make sure you give us a follow, subscribe, all of that good stuff so you don't miss out on any more German Suplex with me, Dieter Wiegner. And remember, you are a legend. Stay awesome. And keep enjoying wrestling.